Hi everyone, it's Fitz with another edition of Fighting Ever Fighting. Hope you're doing well. I am doing fine, mostly because Brian Gilbert gave me the week off again this week from the podcast as he continues his journey through the new Kansas State basketball staff. This week, making a stop with the youngest assistant coach on the staff, maybe the youngest full-time assistant coach in Kansas State history, Luke Smith, who was a sharp-shooting player himself, was on the staff with Casey Alexander at Belmont, and now makes the transition to Kansas State. He finished his playing career in 2022. He's 26 years old. So Coach Alexander is going to bring in coaching talent wherever he sees it. And this is one of the five guys. He's got five assistant coaches listed on that on his staff, and this is one of the first hires he made. It was pretty easy. He has a great deal of faith and belief in this young man. And excuse me while I'm calling that. He's less than half my age, easily. And this is a very interesting interview because both these dudes are 26 years old and living in a college town. Pretty good lives. Let's get to it now as Gills talks to Kansas State assistant coach, basketball coach, Luke Smith.
Luke Smith, Kansas State men's basketball assistant, joins us. And Luke, I'm not sure if you tuned in last week. I had Sean Rutiliano on Fighting Ever Fighting, and I asked him, I'm going to be going to Nashville this weekend. I asked the old fart where I should go, and he really didn't give me an answer. He kind of just deferred it to the young guys and said, ask Luke Smith. So here you are. First question to you, where do I have to go out in Nashville?
Man, are we talking like Broadway spots? Are we talking anything?
You know more than me, man. You know more than me.
I mean, if you're gonna go to Broadway, I'd say Kid Rock's fun. Miranda Lambert's bar is pretty fun. If you're not going to Broadway, I'd say go to the Nations. Great bar over there. Go to Twilight Tavern is an awesome awesome kind of sports bar that you should check out. And then so many good restaurants there too. If you guys have any if you need any dinner spots, then text me, let me know.
Okay, all right. I know Casey's big on country. Are you a big country guy as well?
Yeah I like country. He and I are a little bit different though. He's more like mainstream, Cody Johnson, Riley Green, Luke Combs. I'm a little less mainstream. I like those guys, but I like a few other people that Casey probably doesn't listen to too much.
Well, as a younger guy, right, I'm sure it's natural that, you and Casey, some of the older coaches probably like a little different genre of music or genre of country.
Yeah, no doubt. What about you? You like country?
Yeah, man. Question for you. My favorite, you're going to laugh at me because this is it's fake country, right? But my favorite duo, they met at Belmont. You know who I'm talking about?
The Florida Georgia Line guys.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
there you go.
I honestly thought they met at Belmont, but I honestly wasn't positive about that.
Okay, well now you know. You learned something today. Okay,
thank goodness.
Manhattan, what's this been like moving here for you?
It's been awesome. You don't really know what to expect when you move to a new place, but I'd say that it's a lot more similar than it's a lot more what I was expecting than I probably originally thought. It's been a lot of fun. I've got to experience a lot of the town through having a bunch of visits, and I'm here alone right now, so having some free time while about to get married and fiance is going to move down here and everything else, so I've been kind of lone wolfing it. So I've got to experience some good restaurants, go out and see the town. It's been great. The support here is pretty overwhelming. I mean, just the amount of people that you see in purple, the amount of people that come up and talk to you. Honestly, I blend in pretty well. If I'm going to be honest, like nobody's coming up to me, but people are coming up to, Casey and Karan and those guys. They're a little bit more recognizable, but it's been awesome to be here. I grew up in Knoxville, so used to the big kind of college town. Knoxville's obviously grown a bunch, but. The fan bases and how passionate they are and how they treat it, very, very similar.
I assume Knoxville and Nashville, obviously Nashville's a lot bigger, but those pretty similar. And then Manhattan, was it just a big change? Or, I mean,
well, honestly, I'd say Knoxville and Manhattan have more similarities. Like, I lived a little bit out in the country in Knoxville, so they have a little bit more of a similarity than I would say Manhattan and Nashville do. So I'm not too far out of my element here, and I've really really enjoyed the town so far.
Well, to say that you were busy, you and the entire staff were busy when the portal opened up, I mean, to put that roster together as quickly as you guys did is absurd in this era of college basketball. But you do that, and then now you're planning for a wedding. Like, have you had any time to really just slow down over this summer?
Not entirely, but I'm grateful, and honestly, it's the way that you want it to be. Kind of hate the down times and the slow times, and I don't really know what to do with myself too much. You know, I don't have kids yet, and so fiance, family, work, and maybe get to play golf every, you know, now and then is kind of what I'm up to. So I kind of love the day-to-day grind and the being in here with everyone and trying to get these guys better. So not too much downtime right now, but kind of the way that I like it.
There you go. When's the wedding?
August 8th.
Okay. And then back in Tennessee, I assume?
Yeah, and we're both from Knoxville, so we're getting married in Knoxville, and then it's during a dead period, so we're going to go from there and just go to Mexico for a week and enjoy it, enjoy a little downtime then for sure.
Cool. Very important question, Luke. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Do you know that you don't exist on ESPN? Are you aware of this?
No, but that's probably for the better, to be honest with you. Yeah. That's my last year. Don't need to be public records.
I had to go digging for your stats. They're good.
There's probably just too many Luke Smiths, if we're being honest. I mean, my name, there's probably 500 of us out there.
That might be it. It's a good point. Yeah. But go back to a random Belmont game in 2021, and there's only four starters for Belmont listed. And go to the entire stat from the
that's
season.
That's crazy. I started every game of my career at Belmont.
Right. So I was trying to do a little research, get a little background going. And then I was like, he played college basketball, right? I'm not crazy, but I had to go to like Sports Reference or whatever. But you got to contact ESPN. I'm not sure if you guys in the program have a contact, but you don't exist on ESPN's database, period.
I need to reach out to them. That's kind of low on the totem pole right now. I think I'll just keep going with not existing right now. But yeah, I did play, as shocking as that might be when you see me. And I was actually okay at basketball.
Don't sell yourself short. Come on.
Better than okay. Above average.
You, what was Luke Smith like as a player?
I'd say competitive, intense. Shooting was probably the best thing that I did at Belmont, but I didn't start there. I was at a Division III school for 2 years and played there. My freshman and sophomore year was much more of a point guard, creator, scorer, and then – you know, moved up a level when I went to Belmont. And when you move up a level, you kind of have to condense your game. And so I became much more of an off-ball player. We had one of the best point guards in Belmont history at that time. And so I realized that the best way to get on the floor was to move to the two. And so kind of focused more on shooting and just trying to find ways to get on the floor. But yeah, competitive. Casey would say that I was cerebral and a coach on the floor, and I think all of those things would be true. I've always leaned that way.
I saw you were MVP of Paradise Jam, so I was going to ask you if you like the beach, but this was during COVID, so it was up in like Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it was one of the strangest things I've ever been a part of. We went to the U.S. Virgin Islands Paradise Jam in Washington, D.C. It was miserable. It was awful. It was my first time playing Division I basketball, so I was excited, but we played in a warehouse, no joke, in Washington, wow, D.C. There was no one there. I was fired up. It was my first Division I games. I was ready to go, and I played well. We were actually – it's funny you say that. We were joking about that the other day, because – if you go on Wikipedia and you look at all the former MVPs of the Paradise Jam, I mean, there's some really, really good players. And then there's, you know, just Luke Smith. We were all laughing about that the other day.
You got to get in Wes's ear about playing out in some more Caribbean tournaments to make up for lost time, just for your own sake. Okay.
I agree. We need the makeup from the Washington DC trip. Hopefully, Vegas will be good this year. That'll be a fun, that'll be a good trip. So looking forward to that. And then obviously got some other good non-conference games that we're excited about.
Yeah, Vegas will be a lot of fun. I'll be out there. I'm fortunate that I get to go to Vegas during November. I wish it was somewhere warm, like a beach, but I'll take Vegas. I'm not going to complain.
No doubt.
Just for everybody watching or listening, to put into perspective, Luke, your age, your youth, Bruce Weber's last year in Manhattan was your last year as a college player. And so you went and coached high school for what, 1 year, correct?
Yeah, 1 year.
2 years with Casey Alexander. Now you're here?
So I did a year. I was the head coach at Knoxville Catholic High School. It was an interesting situation. I was playing, they came to me the summer before my last year playing at Belmont and essentially told me that the coach there was retiring and that they would want it to be me if I was open to it. So kind of went through that whole process and got named the coach actually before I started playing my last year at Belmont. So all my teammates would give me crap and, I'd try to tell them something on the floor. They'd be like, all right, coach. Yeah, this guy thinks he's, a coach and make fun of me there. So I did 1 year there. And then I went to Trevecca, which is a Division II school in for a year as an assistant. I then took a job with one of my best friends at Alabama Huntsville, which is a D2 powerhouse. And he had just gotten the job. I think I was there for a month and a half, and then someone left Casey's staff at Belmont. And it was just an opportunity that I didn't think I could turn down. So did a year as player development and then a year as an assistant, and obviously am here now.
How much of a compliment is that for you? For Casey to want to take a chance on you, obviously at Belmont and what happened there, but here in the Big 12, Power 4, to be a lead assistant, I mean, that's big time.
Yeah, I don't think that I can even put into words how grateful I am for his faith in me and the opportunity. I think the comfortability and he knows me and I know what he likes on the floor and I know the type of players that he likes is a huge part in it, but I'd be naive to the fact of thinking that, I necessarily deserve this. There's plenty of people who have been in the business for much longer. I think I'm plenty competent and I think I'm plenty capable, but, his faith in me definitely means a lot. Could not be more grateful and more excited to, be here. I understand not necessarily the risk, but the leap of faith that he's definitely taking on all of us younger guys to make a big step and be productive for him. So we know him really well, and we are obviously super familiar with what he likes and are very familiar with teaching his offense and defensive schemes. So I think that was part of the reason as well. I never thought I'd end up back at Belmont too, by the way. I know how many people were in the line of wanting to go back because it's such a great place and it's a program with some rich tradition. So even getting the opportunity at that time, I felt lucky, blessed, and I'm still pinching myself now that we get to do this all together.
You mentioned Belmont tradition there. I know the last couple of years in Manhattan here have not been great, but I guess there's probably nothing behind you. I know Sean had a Final Four banner or something.
Oh, I'm in Sean's office actually now. His window's just down. We've got like the big bullpen. Like the older guys, they get to be over here in these big offices. With the younger guys, we're in there. We're in the trenches. We're in the bullpen over there. So gotcha. I asked Sean if I could borrow his office for the time being.
Well, I'm glad he said yes.
There is a lot of history,
Sweet 16, I think, are behind you, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of tradition, a lot of history here in Manhattan.
It's pretty awesome. I think that it's one of my favorite things about getting to a new place and getting to coach at different places is just kind of learning the history and tradition of that. And I did a lot of research and read a lot about, and immediately upon Casey getting hired, just kind of dove into all of that stuff as well. I mean, it's important to understand that. It's especially important in a place where it kind of is the community that you're going to, and everyone understands that. So I think that all of us have been kind of educating ourselves on all the history and tradition here.
And the fan base, I know you mentioned Belmont, right? There's a following there, but here in Manhattan, I mean, this town, it's all college, it's all Kansas State. And so Bramlage Coliseum, how much of an impact can that have for this program, this team, to have a home court advantage?
Yeah, I mean, it will be so, so exciting and awesome to see people in there whenever our first game is. I'm excited for the TBT thing as well.
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
It's like a month away now. Yeah, it's coming up. Yeah,
see some people in Bramlage. But yeah, honestly, like going out recruiting and getting to talk to other coaches and people who have played here, that's a consensus around the country is just how big of an advantage Bramlage can be when it's rocking and people are in there. Plenty of people from the Big 12, plenty of people from other power conference schools. That's what the consensus message to me has been, is that we have an amazing home court advantage. And obviously I've seen that through old games and everything else, but I'm excited to experience it in person.
I know Bailey's probably more in charge of like handling former mm-hmm. players and stuff like that, but have you guys been able to interact with that TBT group at all?
Yeah, we have. We've got to interact with them a little. We've had more people, honestly, early on when we were here, come into the office, just stop in. I think that the alumni know that anyone who wants to come by for a practice, or anyone who just wants to stop in and say hello. I know Casey has done a lot with alumni and cap backers and all the supporting stuff. So he's kind of been pretty heavy in that. And yeah, Bailey will hit us up and tell us who's coming to practice and kind of getting to meet those guys and their experience as well. I'm blanking on his name right now. You're going to have to help me, but I had a 15 minute long conversation with who was our player that did a windmill dunk against Kansas and
Cardi Ajada.
Yeah. So Cardi came by and, they're telling me all about the dunk and everything else. I'm like, yo, pull it up. I want to see this. And I could not get over that he was willing to do that. It was like a 5-point game.
Yeah.
And
I took some guts.
Yeah, I could not reconcile it in my head. I was like, dude, you're so lucky you made that. If you missed that, and the coaches, they'd absolutely kill you.
Yeah.
But he came by. We got to meet him. So that was fun.
I'm sure anybody listening could tell you that's for me personally, that's the loudest I've ever experienced Bramlage.
What year was that? Dunk.
That'd be 2019 when they won the Big 12.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an unbelievable play. I mean, yeah, the crowd and Bramlage was rocking, but I could not get over that. He had that much confidence in himself to pull that off.
Yeah. Took some guts. Yeah, we get a lot of good feedback. We have Cardi, Clint Stewart, Jordan Henriquez, people eat that up, and we have those guys on our shows. So you'll love meeting them when they're in Manhattan for TBT.
Yeah, we're excited. We're going to try to hopefully maybe have a few guys on campus for that too, and maybe schedule it around that so they can see what Bramlage is about a little bit.
Which players? No, I'm just kidding. We don't got to get into that.
I'll tell you when the Zoom ends.
Right. Luke Smith, your role on this staff. I know we talked probably a month back, and it was all the media, and we kind of dove into that, but walk us through what your role on this staff is going to be or already is.
Yeah. Obviously a lot of recruiting. I think that falls on all of us as a staff to know who every player is and know if they fit us and be early in their recruitment. I think that, I think that this 2027 class, I don't think we were late to the party by any means, but there's definitely a few players that when you get a high major job that are just down the line with some people. And so we've made up some ground with some kids, but, just being really well versed in that, understanding the area. I think John Cooper on staff has been super helpful with that, and his Kansas City ties and just knowing the state in this area super well. And trying to really evaluate those guys that are in a 3-5 hour radius and being super well versed in what they do and what they can do. So that from a recruiting side. Basketball wise, my position group would be the bigs. And so watching film with them, helping them understand somewhat intricate offensive scheme and trying to expedite that process so that they can be as far along as they possibly can be after, you know, 20 practices or so this first month. But I would say that I still get on the court a lot for, you know, right now you're kind of limited by hours and everything else, but for workouts and player development, I love that side of it. I think building the sweat equity with those guys, and that's probably where you build the best relationships with them. So I really enjoy that as well. But yeah, recruiting, coaching the bigs a lot, player development, would say those would be three pretty big things that I'm focusing on.
How many of these players right now on this team could you beat one-on-one? You're only a few years removed from your playing career.
What are we playing to?
I don't know, 15 ones and twos?
No, 15 ones and twos, absolutely zero. I'm in absolutely horrible shape, and they are in much, much better shape. If we were playing to five, I might just really get hot from three, but I would go almost zero. I mean, we actually played pickup with the other day with some of the football staff at like 5:30 in the morning. So I don't know if you play pickup, but if you want to play pickup, let me know. We got.
Oh, yeah. You'll see me at the rec every day.
Okay, we're getting some students going. Christian Ellsworth over on the football staff, he brought some people over here, and we got in there, 5:30, 6 in the morning, got up and down before we all went our ways during the day.
Okay, there you go. I like the energy, man.
Yeah, definitely.
You and football kind of fed off each other.
It's been good. I met Christian at the why am I blanking? Big fundraiser that they hold in Bramlage every year, maybe last month or the month before that. And we got to meet, hang out, talk. You know, honestly, I'm trying to make some friends too here in this town. You know, I hang out with these guys in this office too much as is. I need some people outside of the staff that I can hang out with. So, but we've had a good relationship. I think Casey and Colin have a good relationship as well. It's been fun to see what they do. I love college football, so I'm really, really excited to go to some games.
Are you 26?
27.
27. Same here. So it's tough once you get to graduate Kansas State. Everybody leaves. All your friends go off. We're stuck in the little apple, and like, of course, there's a lot of families and older people here, but we're in that weird little gap where, and don't get me wrong, I've got some great friends here still.
But yeah, no doubt. We're elsewhere. Yeah, so maybe we got to hang out. Maybe we got to hang out every now and then. Need some friends.
I'll show you the best places in town, all right?
I was about to say, what are your – that's what I want to know. Okay, just meals-wise, what are your top three or four places in Manhattan?
Well, I'm biased. I worked at Taco Lucha for a number of years, and so I obviously am going to be partial to Lucha. And then So Long, same owner, same kitchen, right? So that's kind of all in one umbrella. Rockabilly is a good vibe. I mean, I live – like I can look out my window and I can see Aggieville. So I walk to these places, and Tap House is good. If you want to go downtown, I'm sure you've been there, right?
Yeah.
So those are probably top three, top four.
What about Bourbon and Baker? I haven't tried it. Everyone talks about it.
I'm not sophisticated, not classy enough for Bourbon and Baker yet.
Okay, gotcha.
Maybe once we're as old as some of the other assistants on your staff, we'll get there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, when we get to that, you know, Coop's like 70. So whenever we get to that age, you know, we'll go and we'll go try that place out. Yeah, I like Lucha a lot. We went to So Long, probably five or six of us as a staff. I think on Saturday we had a scrimmage day, and then everybody went on and got something to eat. But yeah, both those places are really good.
Me and Sean were saying, like, if a recruit commits after Lucha, I think Lucha deserves some credit for the bean that probably played a role in the recruitment, right?
I mean, we probably ate there 20 times during the time. It was awesome. There's always people in there too, so it looks good too. And so, you know, I mean, every time I drive by there, I'm not gonna lie, there's like a line of 30 people outside of.
Mm-hmm. It's a little crazy. I'm not gonna lie. It's good food, but
people down there, it's packed. It's So Long Saloon. We had a 30-minute wait too. It's good to see everybody out on the Friday and Saturdays. The weather's good.
If you need the barbecue, Rex, I mean, I'm from Kansas City, but I guess Cooper's got us covered there.
Yeah, give me the barbecue. Like, are you saying in Manhattan or in Kansas City?
Manhattan's non-existent, to be honest with you. You're in the wrong department here.
Hey, I haven't seen any barbecue spots out here.
Yeah, you just might as well take the trip down I-70.
So what are the places?
What you can. I Q39 is probably my favorite. Okay. But Joe's, Jack Stack, there's some good options.
I went to Joe's when I was playing either at Swanee or at Belmont, and I think we had a road trip in Kansas City and we stopped and got Joe's, and it was great. But Q39, I'll have to check out the next time.
Yeah, you have to. You must go do a real recruiting trip. And you know, look, I you can't get into specifics on this, right? But recruiting the local Kansas City area, I mean, I don't want to say it's a non-negotiable, but you have an upper hand on the rest of the programs out there who are halfway across the country from these kids.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think that recruiting has become more, because of the money and being in a certain range and everything else, has become less about some of those things, whereas it used to be a lot about who's close and everything else. But it's still an advantage, regardless of what has transpired and how the recruiting game has changed. You know, if there is a guy that's within 2 or 3 hours, we need to know who he is, and we need to at least kick the tires on it and go watch him and see if he's a potential fit. That doesn't mean everybody's going to be a potential fit for what we do. We're looking for a pretty specific player, and we have a pretty specific philosophy in high school recruiting as well. So, I mean, there's just going to be some guys, close or not close, that don't fall into that category. And so, you know, we want to expedite that process. But if there's someone that is close that falls into what we're looking for, then absolutely we need to be going all out after those people.
And going all out early, getting your feet in the door early.
I mean, those are the people that that you need to be there early on. Did you see that Bennett Sturts comment the other day?
I did.
That was funny. That guy's a nightmare, by the way. We played him at Belmont, and he is so good. He understands basketball from a high level. But yeah, I was looking at that. I was like, what did he just say?
Yep.
What did he just say? He said he was a K-State guy. God, he would have been good here.
I think his brother went here to K-State. I think his girlfriend was at Kansas State. There was a lot of ties.
Yeah.
But we got the taste of him. K-State played Drake in Kansas City when he was still there, and so
I remember that game. Did he hit a game winner in that? Or was that a different game?
He went off in that game, of course, but
yeah,
it was other teammate. Was the other guy,
Mitch Mascari?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. They both went off. So great times.
There's
here.
What'd you say?
Go ahead.
I don't even remember what I was going to say. Okay. You go ahead.
I want to switch gears. Okay. And we're recording this, pull back the curtain. This is being recorded on Tuesday, so nothing's official to my understanding till Wednesday. But this new 5 for 5 thing, the NCAA is probably, I think, going to pass. I assume you can touch on this, right?
Yeah.
What is your, I guess, overall thoughts? Good for your program? Going to be more challenged for your program?
I think it's interesting because it could go a number of ways. I think it's good in the sense of we have people in the program that now have an extra year, and hopefully we can keep those guys and develop them for another year. I think that it affects high school recruiting in some ways. Now our niche in some ways at Belmont was to take some guys that may be undervalued and redshirt them. We had multiple redshirt freshmen last year that were significant contributors after their redshirt year, and that's obviously not a thing anymore. So it will have to play into the psyche of how patient are guys still willing to be, how willing are people to take high schoolers because of this, especially the next year as it kind of cycles in. But I think it's good to have some clarity on eligibility and what is actually going to work. And I think the compliance staff here has been very transparent. I mean, we've obviously known about this, as has everybody, for a while, and it's been almost a certainty that it was going to pass. So we're pretty well prepared, and we've been preparing for the 5 for 5 for months now. So
okay, was that any part of your plan, you and the coaching staff, putting together this roster? Did you Rex Steiner some of these seniors?
It was down the line a little bit. I mean, it wasn't a bad thing, but we weren't necessarily, with how many people that we needed, we weren't necessarily getting into the weeds that much. Like, we weren't going to pass on a guy because of that necessarily. We just, it was an extra bonus if they did have that.
Okay. Jalen Alexander and Devin Hutcherson, these two guys in particular. I mean, this conversation the last couple minutes, how important can these two guys be for the program and the foundation? And just, I guess, the proof in the pudding that Casey Alexander and his staff are going to go out and recruit high schoolers and build a foundation with those guys.
Yeah, those two guys have been awesome in the first 3 weeks of practice. They're everything that we thought they were as people. Super competitive, a lot of confidence. You know, we've been beyond pleased with what they've done up until this point. And so I think it's kind of just reaffirmed our belief in what we look for. And obviously it's a different level. We need more talented players, but there's got to be some non-negotiables in terms of competitiveness, in terms of being a team player, in terms of wanting what's best for your teammates and wanting what's best for the team, even if that comes at a personal sacrifice for you. And both of those guys embody that. I don't think that you'd they still have some freshman moments, but I don't think that if you came to one of our practice, you'd be able to tell that, oh, that guy's the freshman. I think that they both have a mature game and are competitive and as much of team people as we could possibly ask for. So I'm really glad that they're here.
All right. Appreciate your time, Luke. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
I mean, hey, if after we're done recording, I'll let you go off and get your food at Lucho, wherever you got to go venture out to, okay?
I've been meal prepping a little bit, cooking in the Candlewood, making lunches for the whole week. So I'm like that place is like, I know that place like the back of my hand right now. I'm well versed.
There you go. I'm good.
I tried to do a steak last night. I'm not gonna lie, I was slightly worried about setting off the smoke detectors in the Candlewood, so I didn't get the pan quite as hot as I probably wanted it to be. So it was average at best.
Live and learn.
That's exactly right.
Well, Sean, I guess, recommended you. We're going to do all the coaches at some point here every week, but I'm going to throw it to you to end this. Who do I got to go with next week?
Oh, man. Not JJ. He's about to have, like, any day now, his second child. So I think he's going to be a little bit busy. I think his wife would probably be a little bit upset with you if you called him in on that one. Let's go with Phil Cunningham. I mean, he is the best. He is a grinder. He loves it. He's got the Southern drawl that it's going to pull you guys in. I'm sure he's got stories for days about everything else, but Phil Cunningham, he's awesome. So I think you'll enjoy getting to talk to him.
Okay. Appreciate your time, and I'll reach out to Tom and we'll get that set up.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you too. Thanks for covering us.
Thank you, Luke.
Yep.
Yeah, that was fun. I tell you what, as we go through these, and it's interesting now from a perspective of not actually doing the interview and just watching from the sidelines, this basketball staff's impressive. They're down to earth. They absolutely love it here. They're embracing the challenge. They know they have a huge challenge. And they're moving forward with their plan. I don't care how anyone else has done it. They believe how they've approached things in the past will work at this level, and I'm going to give them the grace to prove it right or be proven wrong. But it's the same way I feel about the football staff. I feel like there's been an injection of energy into K-State athletics by younger staffs and hopeful staffs and ones that seem very down to earth and fit the K-State way. Well, we will be back next week with another interview from Ryan Gilbert, probably, as we continue to meet these assistant coaches. It'll be July. I don't know what's happening to the summer, but here we are. As we get closer and closer to football, we will continue to talk basketball until it's time to warm up to the gridiron. I'm Fitz, and I will talk to you real soon.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production.